Yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Land Grant Holy Land's I-70 Football Show, where we talk about the Big Ten from Rutgers to Ohio State. As always, I'm your host, Jordan, and I'm here with my co-host, Dante.
What's up?
What's good? This is, let's hope that this recording goes smoothly this time.
Yeah, man, I hope so. Y'all don't know, but...
We've tried this before, and we just had to restart.
Yeah, we've had some interruptions. I'm being a nice American and stuff.
Yeah, and this is why I'm not even going to bring that up because I don't need nobody in my mentions talking about animal preferences.
Oh man,
that's enough to get people to stop listening to the podcast.
Probably
not the fact that we run long or we talk about random non-Big Ten stuff. It's going to be animal preferences, so I'm not even just going to get into that. It's weird restarting because we've had a whole conversation. It's like, do we just restart that conversation or do we just go into the show? So we can just go into the show.
Yeah.
The conversation we were having is actually my pit stop, so we'll
get to it. Fair enough.
So on this episode, I will go ahead and state we are not doing tiers this week because life happens, and I for some reason thought I was Superman and thought we could prepare for tiers while also me moving. That was not smart. So we are going to get to it, and we are going to start next week because I do think it's good. And before we get too far removed from the season, we should recap it.
Right.
But, I mean, hey, there was still a football game that happened. Hopefully no one stopped listening because we talked about the national championship. I think even if you're a Big Ten fan, I know it was not that interesting because it was one of the least watched national championships in a while. So let's start there. We had that conversation last week. And you were kind of talking about how you just don't ever really see a whole bunch of hype for the national championship.
No.
Did you see that this was one of the least watched national championships in years?
Yeah, I did. And it didn't surprise me.
Yeah, no. Like, it's like, you know, a lot of people don't care about the national championship unless they have a team in it. Which is kind of weird sometimes because, like, everyone seems to care about the Super Bowl. And, like, college football does really, really good with TV numbers and stuff. But maybe the Super Bowl is just a cultural thing
because
like, the commercials and the halftime show.
Yeah.
But that's getting over. That's getting over soon because the commercials have been trash recently. Like,
recently, that hasn't been a memorable. I don't remember a good Super Bowl commercial since, like, 2012.
Yeah, like high school.
Yeah.
Well, you graduated in 2012, but still high school.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah.
They've had little gems here and there, but I can't remember one off the top of my head, and that might be the answer there.
Yeah, I don't know. It feels like they're trying to do too much. Like, they're just not, like, funny anymore. They're trying to, like, overdo production and try too hard to make a joke.
Yeah, and then, like, what also isn't helping is, like, throughout the year, there are funnier commercials. Like, I'll tell you right now, the Progressive commercials about trying to make sure – you don't turn into your parents are hilarious.
Yeah.
And so you're getting stuff like that all year, and then they kind of want the bet on the Super Bowl. It's just like, at this point, now you're just there for the game and the halftime show, and sometimes not even the game.
Facts. And some of them get lazy and, like, do their Super Bowl commercial, like, the weeks leading up to the Super Bowl, and then you see it on Super Bowl night, and you're like, I've already seen this commercial.
Yep. Yeah.
So,
or they do one commercial where it's kind of just like throws you off, and it's really, really depressing. Like I'm sure. We're probably going to get an Apple Watch commercial for the Super Bowl.
No.
And those have been kind of like really morbid.
That's the worst commercial ever. Oh my god! And it's funny. Because we were watching the same thing. We both tweeted about it at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, why did Apple Watch? It's like Apple Watch saved this family's life, and they literally used the police call of, like, someone, like, breaking into their house.
It was
something where they almost died.
Yeah.
And they literally used the police, like, like the 911 call from the Apple Watch, and they were like, the Apple Watch saved this family's life. Like, listen, can you just talk about the fact that like it counts your steps or something? Like, that's great that you can call off of it, but I don't. It's like someone almost dying isn't going to make me buy the watch.
Yeah, it just makes me feel like as a company, you
like you're profiting off of someone's misfortune.
Yeah, it's really kind of messed up, and all because it's like I get you're trying to show off that it can help you in dire situations, but you could have just told us that. I don't need to hear a very ominous 911 call. Like, it's just really creepy to me.
And honestly, if you were going to do it, which is still a bad idea, like, don't reenact it, but just, like, make up a fake scenario where, like, they do it. Like, do, like, a car accident. Like, you see those all the time with, like, progressive commercials. Like, a car accident where someone, like, some passerby walks by and, like, calls on the watch because they don't have their cell phone on them. Yeah. And it's like, you can make calls. You know, like that is still not the best way to sell something. But, like, if that is the important thing that you want to get out the way, like, or, like, you know, it could just be funny. Like, everyone knows that men suck at grocery shopping. He leaves his phone at home and he needs to know what his wife wants from the grocery store. Boom, call the wife on the Apple Watch. We just made Apple a commercial that doesn't make anyone depressed. Like, I promise you, it's not that hard.
It's just really, because it's just really creepy. Because then after that, like, you're still like you're selling me a watch, and I'm supposed to just go buy a watch now. Like, that's so weird.
A $500 watch at that,
bruh. Like not
a watch that you have to make payments on.
like, bro, I know you just heard something really, really morbid and depressing, so go buy a watch.
Like, no,
and I'm sure I think we talked about that like that week. A few weeks ago, but I have a feeling that we're going to get an Apple Watch commercial for the Super Bowl.
In the middle of the Super Bowl, yeah. And it's going to be sandwiched in between two commercials.
Hilarious ones, or ones that are trying to be funny, yeah.
Yeah, that's going to suck. But yeah, so for some reason, to get back on topic, for some reason, people don't really watch the national, like there's not a lot of hype about the national championship nationally, but this one in particular, it was one of the lowest viewing audiences, which is crazy because it was actually a really good game. So let's get into the game. First of all, just a side note, the game was only a couple days ago, technically. I guess it was almost a week ago because today's Sunday.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like it was 6 days ago. Like, it feels like it was like 2 weeks ago. When I put it on the show plan to talk about the game, I was like, are we like 2 weeks late?
I said the same thing when I read it. I was like, I feel like we should have did this last week. And no, it was on Monday. The game was on Monday.
it hasn't been a week yet, so
that's it. Kind of just shows you that it was kind of while a good game, it wasn't memorable. It was a boring kind of game, and I get why it was the lowest view because a lot of people, even if there's a lot of SEC fans, a lot of people aren't fans of the SEC. So and they think the SEC is trying to take over the playoffs. So when it was two SEC teams playing in the national championship game, it made perfect sense for that to be the lowest game. Like the writing was on the wall.
Yeah, no, it really was. And then you add in other factors. Like, we've already seen the game. It was a rematch.
Yeah, it was a rematch.
All the other kind of stuff. I mean, it still was a good game, though. But, you know, I definitely understand why people didn't want to watch it. I was going to watch it because it's like I love football too much not to. It's one of the last games of the year. But I can't say I was excited to watch it. Like,
nah.
I wasn't like, you know, like, even when Ohio State wasn't in there, I was excited to see that LSU-Clemson one. Because, like, I thought that was going to be interesting. I was excited to see.
And that was kind of like, first, wasn't that the reason because, like, everybody wanted to see LSU beat Clemson?
Yeah, yep. Yeah. I was excited to see the first two Alabama Clemsons because the first one was a really good game. And then I wanted to see, like, you know, the second one because a rematch a year apart is interesting, not a couple weeks apart. I didn't really care for the third one. But, like, I wasn't like interested in watching the game. I was just going to watch it no matter what. But I mean, it was Georgia won.
Yeah, I mean, even us, we were missing, like, we were missing parts of the game and stuff. So, we weren't even fully invested. So, it makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. If you're listening to this and somehow don't know, Georgia won, which is interesting. Let me ask you this question. Georgia won, right? Mm-hmm. Georgia's in the SEC. It's Georgia. They win the recruiting, that kind of stuff. People, they're blue blood. So people are, but they haven't won a championship in 41 years.
Yeah.
So it puts you in this awkward position of like, I'm tired of the same teams winning, but technically Georgia's a new team.
Yeah, Georgia.
So where do you fall on it? Does it being Georgia and then being pretty successful and in the SEC, does that like take away your feeling on them? Not, I mean, you're not a fan and they beat your team, but does that take away like the hype or like the kind of excitedness of it being a new team? Or is it like, yeah, they haven't won, but they've done everything else, so I don't care.
So I think it should add to the hype, because was Georgia, like, since the playoff bracket, playoff system was implemented, was Georgia in the playoffs?
They've been in there once. Yeah, they've been in there once, because there was, I'm pretty sure we got a Georgia. Yeah, the Tua Jalen Hurts one, that was in the national championship game, when Jalen Hurts was benched for Tua.
That was against Georgia?
No.
Yeah, no. Yes. But no.
Or was that in the SEC championship game?
No, because I know he got benched for Tua in the national championship.
Right. Wasn't that against Georgia?
No, that was against Clemson or Ohio State.
It definitely wasn't Ohio State.
Tua got drafted when?
2020. No, I'm almost positive that was in the national championship.
I don't think they were going against Georgia, though. Are they going against Oklahoma? Nah, because Oklahoma loses.
Yeah, every time. Are you sure? Because I'm pretty sure, because that was one of Kirby Smart's first years there. And so everyone was like super excited.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it was Georgia.
It was 2017. Yeah. Yep. See, what you're thinking about is it happened twice. So the first one in 2017 against Georgia, Jalen was benched for Tua. Mm-hmm. And then they won the national championship. And then in 2018, Tua was benched for Jalen, but they still lost. And then after that season, Jalen went to Oklahoma. So it happened twice in reverse. But the first time they won, when Tua was a freshman, and then the second time, Tua started the whole season, they were losing to Clemson. They put Jalen in, but it wasn't big enough a spark. They still lost. And then Jalen went to Oklahoma for that.
And then Tua took over and won the championship in 2018. Because in 2017, they lost to Clemson 35-31. Yeah, and then they had to see. No.
You have the years mixed up. Because they played Clemson multiple times.
Well,
that
thinking,
happened in 2017.
I'm Googling it. Yeah, in 2017, they faced Clemson, and then next year they faced Georgia.
Okay. So that's where we're getting mixed up.
Mm-hmm.
It's the 2017 season, mm-hmm. but the game happened in 2018.
Yeah.
So the 2017 season, the game was in 2018. That is when Tua replaced Jalen. And then the 2018 season, with the game being in 2019, is when Jalen replaced Tua and they lost to Clemson.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, because that's the other thing. I hate that. Like, the basketball doesn't make sense because the season's too long. Basketball should start in January, but that's a totally different thing. I hate that the championship is in a different year of the season. Like, it just makes it confusing. Especially, like, the NFL kind of makes sense because it goes so long. It goes until February. But this championship is the first weekend of the new year. Just start the season 1 week up and have the championship on New Year's Day, New Year's Eve, or whatever. I don't care. But, like, nah, that doesn't work. I don't know. It's just weird trying to remember which is which because the year happens. And right. But
now yeah, they had to throw me off. Cause I mean, so Georgia's been in it one other time. So, in a way, it's still a new team.
Yeah.
Because I got tired of seeing Oklahoma and Clemson. So, I guess in the national championship game, it's not a new team. The games leading up to it, they're new teams. But, I feel like it's like, because still in a way, like for Georgia to win a championship after 41 years, should it add hype? But I can still see why it's not that much hype because it's still an SEC team. So it's like the rich still get richer.
Yeah, you're on the same page as me. I'm happy about it because it is a new team, and Georgia's my second favorite team. Mm-hmm. Large, I think I've said this before. They're my second favorite team because I wanted to go to college at the University of Georgia. Mm-hmm. I looked at undergrad and grad school, and it just didn't work out because out of state tuition's a lot. And, you know,
all that their out of state tuition is incredible.
Yeah, so I did not deal with that. But yeah, so I like Georgia. I was happy, but like you said, I understand why people aren't happy about it, but because it is the SEC or whatever. But you know, Georgia hasn't won in 41 years, like, and that's a conversation that could spiral because Georgia had the best year, especially. This is not to get into politics, but just really quickly, especially if you're a Democrat, because Georgia went blue for the first time like ever. The Atlanta Braves won the World Series.
Yep.
Georgia football won the national championship, and the Atlanta Hawks were in the Western Conference Finals. Eastern Conference Finals. Especially if you're a Democrat, that's the last thing I'm going to say about politics. But especially if you're a Democrat, this was probably the best year of your life.
just for now the Atlanta Hawks stink, which I knew was going to happen, but it was a fluke.
Yeah. People were like, yeah, they're going to be back next year. No, they're not.
No, they're not. They'll be lucky to make the playoffs. And I knew that was going to happen. And right now they're struggling to stay in the playoffs. And I think the Atlanta Falcons, they ain't been right since that Super Bowl collapse. They still ain't got it right.
Yeah, no. And I still don't know how they got to that Super Bowl. So it is what it is.
Dallas sucks.
So yeah, Georgia wins 33-18. It was a good game. We've rambled about it, so we're not gonna get into too much analysis because that's gonna make the show run long.
Yeah.
But even though it wasn't super exciting, it was a fun game to watch. Georgia actually showed up this time for whatever reason. Stetson Bennett.
It was crazy to me because it was a close game until about, I want to say, mid third quarter. I think that's when they kind of pulled away.
Yeah, yep. And Stetson Bennett made a crazy throw after that weird fumble. They got a touchdown, and then they had the pick six. So they scored 14 unanswered.
Yeah. And then Alabama lost a big receiver after already didn't having their other one to start the game. So you kind of, like, once that happened, you're kind of like, if they pull this off, it's just because, like, Nick Saban keeps getting away with it. wasn't able to get away with it.
Yeah, it's crazy because it really looked like they were going to lose the game. And I had tweeted it, and I love when people respond to tweets after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I had tweeted, like, Georgia's really going to lose this game, and Alabama's without their top two receivers. And as soon as they won, someone was like, this didn't age well. And it's like, yeah, it's called live tweeting.
Yeah.
Not everything ages well, but at that point in time, it looked like they were going to lose without Alabama having their two best players on offense.
It did look like that. It just looked like it was going to be a grinded out game, and if it was going to be something like that, you're going to want to go with Alabama. And until I want to say mid third quarter when it just clicked on offense.
And I wouldn't say it clicked like a quarterback, on offense. Bro. I wouldn't even say it clicked on offense because it was a good drive. He made a spectacular throw, and I'm not trying to take away from him, but it didn't really click. They had a good drive, and then Bryce Young threw a pick six, and the game was over. So yeah, you can't do that. On a Big Ten note, I don't want to see no one else say that Bryce Young is better quarterback than CJ Stroud. They are both good. I think they're both. Bryce Young has some things. They both. I don't.
I think Bryce Young is just shorter.
It's not a huge gap, but like as far as like, well, okay. Let me clarify. Projecting to the NFL, on a college level, they're pretty much equal within because they do certain things. But projecting to an NFL, CJ Stroud is a better projection to the NFL, and I do think that he's a better overall quarterback. He does some stupid stuff with the ball, but Bryce Young is good.
I'm not gonna lie to you. I don't think either one of them will be good quarterbacks in the NFL.
I 100% disagree with you, and we can argue about that all next season.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Before we have that conversation, we won't have it today, but I think that's a good offseason conversation. I want you to watch this video from this quarterback guy and like actually like watch CJ Stroud. Mm-hmm. He does some things that like are very NFL ready with his placement, with his anticipation, which you don't see in college at all often. Like looking off defenders and that kind of stuff. He obviously has some things to
work on. They used to say that about Sunshine in Jacksonville too. And okay, they said that about Baker. There were people saying it. No, listen, I didn't agree because I was saying okay. I knew Baker couldn't make a read in college. But there were people saying that he could read the defense and make anticipation throws.
Never.
Big leagues. And I was like, I don't know what you're watching, but okay.
Okay. But here's the difference. There's actually evidence of CJ Stroud doing it. There's never been evidence of Baker.
That's why I was very confused why people said that about Baker.
I'm mad that you called him Sunshine, but we talked about this.
I can't think of his name. That's why.
It's Trevor Lawrence. We talked about this a bunch of times. The biggest issue with Trevor Lawrence is he has all the talent in the world, but he is literally Clemson runs the least NFL offense of everyone, and like there was only one or two people really willing to break down his film. And they all said it. They said he's going to have trouble adjusting because they don't run an NFL offense. He doesn't make no reads. Like, everything was schemed open. It was a lot of RPOs. It was a lot of – and it's funny, like, everyone was like, Justin Fields doesn't do this. And it's like, yeah, but Justin Fields runs an NFL offense. Yeah. And Ryan Day refuses to give that man a check down. So, yeah, he held on to the ball because there was no receiver within 15 yards of the line of scrimmage. Like, they didn't leak a running back, a tight end, or nothing. Like, well, where was the ball going? So that's a conversation for another day. But, yeah, I'm going to send you this video. And at some point in the offseason, we can talk about it because I want to see if it changes your mind. Okay. But I do think that CJ Stroud has NFL potential, but it's only his first year. So he could come next year and suck. So, like, I'm not about to sit here and proclaim he's going to be the greatest of all time. I just think I think he can be a good NFL player. But anyway, speaking of the NFL, I think that's a solid transition. Let's talk about the playoffs, which are happening, which includes your team because of my team and doesn't include my team because of my team. Yes, I'm still salty about it.
I cannot believe we're in the playoffs. And you know what's funny? So we can start with them because like people are like confused at why Ben said that we shouldn't be here and we're not good enough. So let's just come on and have fun. And it's like,
Wait, hold on, time out. Before you continue, I wasn't paying attention and I definitely thought that was a joke. He really said that?
Yes, no, it was an interview. Yeah. He was like, we're really not good enough as a team to really to stand a chance against Kansas City in Kansas City. So
okay. So you know
how let's just go out there and have fun. Which I've seen coaches say that before and no one got mad. So I'm just confused as to why people are mad at him saying that. And even some of his younger teammates were like confused that he said that. And it's like, you're confused, but you shouldn't be. You know we're not a good team. You know you're not a good team. We're not good on offense. Great. We're really good on defense, but we're not a good offensive team. You don't score in the first quarter. The first time you did it in weeks was against the Browns. And I think the Browns just gave up. So And that was like the second to last game of the season. So it was like, you know, he knows what we are. He knows he's not even that good anymore. So, yeah, you don't stand a chance against Kansas City. So you might as well just go out there and have as much fun as you can. Because you have nothing to lose. The only team that has something to lose here is Kansas City. You're supposed to be in the they're supposed to be in the Super Bowl, so.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't know that he actually said that, yeah. Largely because I just kind of assumed they were memeing it as they do everything, but I guess he did actually say that. That's funny. But also, he's about to retire finally, yeah, so I get, you know, just being honest and saying like, hey, this is not, we're not
a good team. We're not a good team. They're not, though. Like, they're middle of the pack, lower middle of the pack on offense, upper tier defense. And you would think we would have a chance, but Ben plays so terribly. I can't say terribly, but his long ball isn't accurate anymore. So we can't even move the ball down the field. So you don't scare anybody on offense.
I think you can say terribly. But that's just another.
Here's my thing. If our offensive line wasn't so terrible, I think Ben would play better.
True, that's valid.
Yeah, but he's always under duress. There's very few snaps where I think Ben looks calm behind his line.
Yeah. That's the crazy thing about sports, though, is when it's gone, it's gone. Like, there's no warning. Like, Peyton won that national championship, but he
didn't. But it was gone. It was gone.
Super Bowl. I'm mixing my sports, but it was gone. He did not look good.
He didn't look good in that game.
No, he didn't. Not at all. Mm-hmm. Shout out to my boy Von Miller for getting Peyton a ring.
Man,
they see. Here's the thing: we won't spiral out of control. But listen, because I know we sort of agree on this: the NFL is rigged, right?
Yeah.
Occasionally, not every year. Occasionally. So You brought this up, right? They gave the Saints the Super Bowl because of Hurricane Katrina.
Yep.
The Saints beat the Colts.
Mm-hmm.
So when Peyton said he was going to retire, mm-hmm. the NFL owed Peyton a Super Bowl,
yep.
because they took one from him to give it to the Saints because they felt the city needed it. So Peyton got his on the way out, even though it was gone.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, if you believe in NFL conspiracies, I don't believe it's rigged every single year, but I do think sometimes they force some things. I don't know
what last year's Super Bowl was definitely rigged. You mean to tell me he goes to Tampa Bay where the Super Bowl is going to be played and then they win a championship game? You want to know what proves that game was rigged to me? Was the NFC Championship game where they didn't go for it on fourth and goal?
Yeah,
that was point shaking.
And then on third down, Rodgers didn't run.
Yeah, because he thought he was going. Because he probably thought they were going to go for it on fourth. And I also even if he did, I do still think that was point shaving because he didn't run.
Yeah, because he would have gotten a touchdown or at least got tackled at like the 1 yard
line.
And then you have one play from the one or two, and you just, you know, there's some things that you do. So,
point shaming. Yeah.
So we don't need no real picks for this one. We know that the Chiefs are going to win. It's just about how the Chiefs are going to win.
Now, if the Steelers win,
y'all are winning the Super Bowl, and it's going to be rigged. Yeah.
I'll take it. Because I already think us making the playoffs is the start of the rig story.
Oh, man. Not that they took the Colts out. You might be right. Because we literally beat the Cardinals and the Patriots.
And decided to just lose against terrible teams.
And then lost to the freaking Raiders and the Jags. Okay.
And the Raiders made the playoffs. And the Raiders made the playoffs.
Yeah.
They should make the playoffs.
And then got beat by the Bengals, who won their first playoff game for 31 years. This is going to spiral, so we can't stay in the NFL too long. But at some point, we need to have the conversation about how Andy Dalton never won a playoff game, but was in the playoffs every single year.
I blame the coach.
Because I think we forgot that that happened, and mm-hmm. I do too. He was not a good coach, and he stayed there forever. I do think some people forgot that that was a thing, but it's like, no, they were in the playoffs for like 6, 7, 8 years.
It was like 8 to 9 straight years. And never won a game. And I think there's a few times they won the division. Like, they won the AFC North and had a home playoff game.
And lost. So we're both on the Chiefs. Yeah. Rams. Who are you picking?
Rams. Yeah.
I want to pick the Rams, but I can't trust them. Rams.
Right.
But Matthew Stafford has been playing like trash.
So has Kyler Murray. That whole team has been kind of since DeAndre Hopkins got hurt and since Kyler Murray came back. Yeah.
Because their whole offense is Kyler Murray running around like a bad kid that you can't catch and then saying, yep, DeAndre back there. DeAndre down there somewhere.
I think the Rams are going to just – because the Cardinals don't run the ball that well. They run the ball well enough, but I don't think it's that well. And I think they don't run it well enough that the Rams can beat them.
Yeah.
That's the Rams Achilles heels. If you run it down their throat, they kind of suspect. But I think the defense will get to Kyler Murray a few times, and then the Rams will get ahead, which will allow the Rams to still pin their ears back and go after them. Because I don't think they're going to be able to run the ball that much.
Yeah, the thing is, if this is a Rams team that it should be, who has a chance to win a Super Bowl, and they should, one, they should have a chance. Two, they should make it with all the first-round picks that they're giving up, because at some point you need proof of concept.
Yeah.
If this is a Rams team that can make a Super Bowl, they'll blow out the Cardinals. Mm-hmm. If this is a Rams team that's BSing, they're going to win by like 3 points. Matthew Stafford's going to throw like 3 picks.
I'm pretty sure the Cardinals lost to Detroit.
They did. I know for a fact they did.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, they can. This should be a Rams win. Yeah. This should be a Rams win. All right.
That's fair. So, unless something miraculous happens in 32 seconds, the Niners are going to beat the Cowboys. Yep. Is anyone surprised? No. I just want to know. It's the Cowboys, man.
I know, and like, it's crazy because I get that the Cowboys are the Cowboy, but like the 49ers also have like this kind of, they're good, but something happens.
But every single year, the 49ers are the perfect playoff team. If they get to the playoffs, they're always a team you don't want to play because they're going to run the ball and play defense, and they have Nick Bosa. So it's like they're going to be trash for 16 or – oh, my God. They're going to be trash for 16 or 17 games, get to the playoffs, run the ball down your throat, make the game miserable, and they're going to win a game or two. Like, it happens literally every year. They're not the team that you want to face in the playoffs. And the Cowboys are going to Cowboys.
But that's the thing. But, like, I still think – because, like, you still got Jimmy G. Even when I said it, like – I even brought it up. Like, Jimmy G took them to a pick. He has two of them, I believe.
Yeah, but Jimmy G took them to a Super Bowl.
Each playoff game before the Super Bowl, he had great games. So he actually played well in all of those games to the Super Bowl.
And then he got that stupid contract and was like, "Nah, I'm good. let me go date some models or something." okay, so I'm gonna pick the Rams too. I just don't know that I believe it. So the Bucks beat the Eagles 31-15.
That wasn't a fair game.
Nah, not
that's almost like the Chiefs Steelers game. It really wasn't. Yeah. It's not fair.
No, but shout out to Jalen Hurts for getting them there. I mean, at the end of the day, I think it's too – you can never say who won a trade in 1 year. Like, you just can't. But at the end of the day, the Colts traded for Carson Wentz. Colts are not in the playoffs, and the Eagles are. So – and you know, different divisions, all that kind of stuff. You can't say who won in a year, but I mean, he did something, and he did. I don't know how he. I don't know if he's going to be good long term, but he did enough in the instance of like, they have two first round picks, high picks. I'm pretty sure are like decent picks. No, they have three picks maybe because they have theirs. They have the Colts and maybe someone else's, maybe the Bears or something like that. They have two or three first round picks. They have two or three first round picks, and they don't have to spend one on a quarterback. Now, even if they take one next year, which is the better quarterback draft, at least he's good enough that they can build around, and he's going to get a chance to be a long term option.
Now, so, I have to look because I haven't really, I didn't pay attention to much Eagles game because the NFC least. What do they need?
Everything. They're old. All their good players are old. Like, mm-hmm. They had that really dominant defensive line for a while.
Yeah.
All of those guys are like 30, 32, 34. They have Kelsey's brother, but he's getting old. He'll probably retire shortly. They had Zach Ertz, but he's old and he is now on the Cardinals. I can't name a young player on their team
besides Smith and Hurts.
So they need just about everything. So
they might have a 49ers pick actually because they traded away.
Is that who it is?
Because they traded away. Oh no! They might have Arizona's. That's what I said because they traded away. What's his name? The tight end.
They didn't get a first for that though. You may have actually been right. No, the 49ers always had two. Or did they trade up for Trey Lance? No, you might be right.
They had the 49ers.
Are you sure? Are you sure they didn't trade up from like 4 to 5, 4 to 2 or something like that? Either way, they have two or three first round picks. Yeah. You don't have to be accurate. This isn't an NFL podcast. They have two or three first round picks, and they don't have to pick a quarterback. True. And then the Bills just destroyed the Patriots, 47-17. Josh Allen had more touchdowns than incompletions. He had 4 incompletions the whole game.
5 touchdowns. Yeah,
that's nuts.
Dallas, just sad. It didn't surprise me actually. It was a revenge game in Buffalo. I feel like Buffalo didn't feel like they should have lost that game before, and that it was like kind of a tundra game, from earlier in the season. So it makes perfect sense. Oh, the ref got in the way. That's messed up. So it made perfect. I knew the Bills were going to win. I didn't think it was going to be a blowout, but I knew the Bills were going to win. Also, the Patriots had a rookie quarterback. Like, it was, and I think he's the only rookie quarterback in the playoffs.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. So you can talk about that. It was Tom Brady this whole time, but Bill and a rookie quarterback made the playoffs.
Yep.
Bill, very old defense because you talk about Eagles being old. That Patriots defense is old.
Yeah, very old. So yeah, that's our little NFL recap, I guess, rundown. We'll probably try to throw in a little bit of the NFL, but the next weeks we are actually going to do tiers, so we will have more Big Ten stuff to talk about. So maybe we won't get to the NFL, but we're gonna go ahead and take a quick little break, and then we're gonna come back and rapid fire some actual Big Ten things. So if you are still here, I appreciate you for listening to our national championship conversation and then an NFL conversation on a Big Ten podcast. But we will be right back. And welcome back to Land Grant Holy Lands I-70 Football Show. As always, I am your host, Jordan. And as always, I'm here with my co-host, Dante. And we are now 42 minutes into the podcast, actually going to talk about the Big Ten. How about that? So, because we just talked about the NFL, I have a question first. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've seen this on Twitter or not. Do you believe in the belief that the Big Ten prepares players better for playoff games, especially in the cold weather?
I'm not going to say that it the Big Ten itself prepared players better, but I think being up north helps that. I think it's just the location is helps. I don't think the conference itself is helping is the preparing these players, because I still think SEC has more ready skill players, and then
I don't know about that. Remember, we talked about that. A lot of the best wide receivers in the league are from the Big Ten. Remember, we did that on one of the
episodes. Skill player does not always mean receiver.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that's fair.
Yeah. Who are the
best running backs in the league? Jonathan Taylor's from the Big Ten. Derrick Henry's from the SEC. Zeke used to be one of the best ones. He's from the Big Ten. Saquon was good. He's from the Big Ten. I've never been a Saquon fan. That's why I said
he had a lot of
hype.
Yeah.
What else are the really, really good running backs? Gurley used to be good. He's from the SEC. I think Leonard Fournette was never good. He had one good season. Let's be honest.
I don't know, because he was good in Jacksonville. It was just Jacksonville.
Nah, he was.
Ramsey was there. Ramsey was there.
Yeah, he had one good year. That's what I said.
And then he was good last year. He was good for the whole year. It was definitely the second half. But, okay, yeah. So if we're talking about hype, because you said that about Saquon, he had a lot of hype coming out of college.
Right. Way too much, honestly. Listen, I've never been a Saquon fan because I told everyone Saquon is just a big play hitter, and if you actually watch him play, he's going to go 1 yard, 1 yard, 2 yards, negative 3 yards, negative 4 yards, and then he's going to run for 50, and it's going to even out his numbers and make you think he had a good game, but he didn't. He's going to rush for 80 yards and a long of 65, which means on all of his other carries, he had 15 yards. And I don't like running backs like that. I need you to be consistent. So I've never been on the Saquon thing because I've watched him get shut down too much. I don't think he's ever had a good game against Ohio State. He had one decent game, but he also returned a kickoff for a touchdown, and they still lost that game. But most of the times he played Ohio State, he got shut down, and he did that in some other big games too. And I just don't think a good, like, you don't always have to get 100 yards, but a good running back should never – a great running back, I should say, which is what people said he was and how he got drafted in the top five. A great running back should never be held to, less than 20 or 30 yards on a bunch of carries. And he did that a couple of times in college.
Yeah.
So I just don't think people watched
him. He's probably going to be – he may be used the best if he had a – if it was a 1-2 punch running back tandem.
If he was – Who's the other running back on the Cowboys? Not Zeke, the other one.
Pollard.
Yeah, he's a supercharged Pollard. Mm-hmm. Maybe not anymore because he keeps getting injured, which is another thing. But he's a supercharged Pollard. If he had a Zeke or another running back, and he could, get.
But the thing is, I think Saquon is Zeke.
Saquon is Pollard who needs a Zeke. He's not.
Pollard's been the more consistent running back for the past few years now.
Right, but I'm saying Pollard as in the style of how they run.
Okay. Because I was about to say, because Saquon's built like Zeke.
Yeah, but he runs like Pollard. He's not an up the tackle kind of guy. Mm-hmm. He's an outside, bounce it really fast.
He would need a Zeke. Okay.
Yeah. So, okay, I think you worded it better, though. I think it became a Big Ten versus SEC thing just because of the Power 5 conferences, which is disrespectful because NFL players do come from every conference.
I don't know the numbers. I was going to say, everybody else produces, linemen and linebackers very well. So I
think they were just kind of saying – but I do think, not that – any recruits are listening to this, but it is helpful sometimes if you're from the South to go up North and get used to playing in the cold.
Yeah.
Because if you played college in the SEC and then you get drafted to a Southern football team, you don't know how to play football when you have to go to Buffalo and it's 10 degrees outside.
Yeah.
And that is a skill. That is to be able to ignore the cold to be able to ignore the cold and still perform. And it's like, we're not in the NFL, but we did that in Ohio. So yeah. like, you know, like we know what it's like to go outside on a Friday night at 7 o'clock and it's 15 degrees outside and snowing and have to play the game.
Yeah. There's times I wasn't wearing sleeves. I was one of those.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think I understand why they said Big Ten just because it's the bigger conference, but in general, the better statement should be northern schools,
yeah,
cold weather states, mm-hmm, prepare players better.
And I would say that too, because a lot of the time, northern teams have those first few picks. Detroit, who plays inside, but you know what I'm saying. Detroit, Cleveland, New York Jets, Giants themselves, New England always, for some odd reason, has a middle pick because Bill knows what he's doing to get a pick or two. So it's like,
yeah,
those cold, very cold areas. Seattle, it gets cold there.
It rains a lot.
Yeah. Washington, who's always kind of high in picks, it get cold there.
Yep.
So, yeah, it prepares you for that. I think each Power Five conference does their best to prepare players for the NFL. But yes, if you play in a northern school, you're more prepared because you're ready for cold games.
Yeah, and I mean that doesn't. It's not like it's a major thing because that doesn't happen often. But when it happens, you do see the players.
You get drafted to the AFC North, man.
You're done for.
Like, man, get cold. And
Pittsburgh and Cleveland are literally right on the water. Who else is in the AFC North?
Baltimore's cold.
I know it's cold. I've never been to Baltimore. Is Baltimore on the water, though?
I have no
idea.
It
is on the water, right?
I have no idea. I think Cincy's near water, too.
Yeah, because Cincy got the Ohio River.
Yeah.
So, like, not only are they cold, every single one of them gets wind from off some form of body of water. So, yeah, that's miserable if you're not used to it.
Because
you imagine coming up to Cleveland, their stadium's literally right on the water. It's windy.
They get gross snow. You get that slushy stuff.
Yeah, you're right. So, hey, any recruits listening to this, it doesn't matter that it's the SEC. Go up north so you can perform in the playoffs. That you heard it here first on the I-70 football show. Go up north.
Shoot, it get cold to Kansas City. Yeah, they've had snow games. Kansas City was it. Yeah, it get cold there.
Listen, you're stretching my knowledge of geography, so I'm just gonna let you have that one.
I've watched a lot of NFL. I saw Patrick Mahomes playing the snow game.
You're right. That does happen. You're right.
Yeah.
I just, you know, whatever. So let's do some quick hitting things. Let's talk about some coaching moves.
Right.
We can start with these three kind of go together. So we'll talk about Ohio State, Notre Dame, and Michigan kind of together.
Okay.
So Ohio State fires Al Washington, who is their linebackers coach, and Kerry Combs, who is their DBs coach. But if you believe the rumors, neither one of these coaches were fired initially. The coach, Ryan Day, supposedly, if you believe the rumors, wanted both of them to stay and sort of kind of different roles. Like, Kerry Combs would have had to stay as a DB's coach instead of the DC. So he had to take a promotion. Al Washington, who is not a linebacker's coach and should never have been a linebacker's coach
because
he played nose tackle, and all of his career until he went to Michigan, he was a D-line coach and doesn't know linebacker technique, which is why the linebackers were so bad.
Okay, that makes perfect sense.
He was going to take a quote unquote demotion in the instance that the
is he the one that had a linebacker on Smith?
Huh?
Is he the one that had a linebacker on Smith in that game when he
Well, yeah, that was both of them because he coached the linebackers and Kerry Combs was the DC, so that was a joint effort.
Oh, terrible, right? Okay,
yeah. So terrible or not? Again, the rumors are saying that Ryan Day was going to keep Kerry Combs, but as just a DB's coach and not the defensive coordinator. And Al Washington, again, Larry Johnson is 70. He's one of the best defensive line coaches ever. The rumors are this is going to be his last season. So they were gonna keep Al Washington. He was going to help with the DBs this season, mm-hmm. help with the D line this season, and then take over again supposedly next season. And Al Washington said, "F that." Kerry Combs said, "F that." So then they got fired. That's what the rumors say. I kind of believe it though because in the instance of now, every single defensive coach at Ohio State has been fired except Larry Johnson. And I don't believe that Ryan Day wanted to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wanted to do that. I've been begging for him to do it, but I don't believe he was going to fire all of his coaches.
I agree with you. I've seen Ryan Day make weird, stupid decisions. So, keeping all of his defensive coordinators would be a weird, stupid decision. So yeah. I believe he didn't want to do that either.
And a lot of Ohio State fans and people in general have made reasons to keep them. Like a lot of people, even at Land Grant Holy Land,
say
said that they should have kept Combs because he's a great recruiter and he's a proven DBs coach, which is fine.
Okay.
But I've always said the whole time, he's a man, bro. And it's like, nobody wants to take that kind of demotion.
Yeah.
And he's older. He wants to be a DC or a head coach. He can't go back again.
Yeah.
And like, despite how much he loves Ohio State, he just can't go back again. So I never thought he was staying. And personally, I don't get the hype of Al Washington, which leads us to the next thing that we're going to talk about. But a lot of people, supposedly he's a good recruiter, which is fine, but I think there's a lot of people that can be a good recruiter.
So y'all have had great linebackers. Yeah. It's just used wrong.
Right. You're not even an Ohio State fan, and you could recruit to Ohio State. State recruits to itself.
Yeah.
You just have to be a good person. You just have to be a good person and make relationships with people. Ohio State does the rest. Like, it's not like trying to get people to freaking go to, like, Akron or, like, to go to Buffalo or something.
Or go to Ohio State. HBCU.
Yeah, like, it's Ohio State. You don't have to do that much work. Just don't be an asshole and tell them why they shouldn't go to Bama. Like, that's the whole conversation.
Yeah, that's kind of really what it is. It's really just like, hey, don't go to the SEC. Or come to us.
Yeah, literally. It's like, so, but yeah, so they fired both of them. But this is what I'm excited about, and Ohio State fans to be excited about. They hired Perry Alano, and I don't follow coaches, but once I knew who he was, it was good. He is the DB's coach at Cincinnati who Yeah. Ohio State little brother Cincinnati and was like, you can't have the best DBs coach in the state. So we're going to bring him up 71 to Ohio State. We're going to change that black to gray. We can keep the red, but we're going to change that black to gray. He's going to be a Buckeye.
Don't check out black uniforms.
Yeah, but Cincinnati's, yeah. We do. So they took him. He's the guy that helped develop two first-round potential picks. They should both go in the first round this year. They are both first-team All-Americans. And supposedly, for the people who really care about recruiting, because it is important, he's credited for getting Cincinnati in the South. If you don't know, Ohio State can go to the South, but it is not easy to get players from Florida, Texas, Alabama, et cetera, to come to Cincinnati.
Yeah. And even Ohio State, we have in there, it's still kind of not a struggle, but it takes some effort. For Ohio State, too.
So he's gotten some good players out of the South. And then they hired Tim Walton, who, and I need to, before you react to this, if you don't know who he is, I have to clarify. He was there before the coach, okay? He's been there for a while. They hired Tim Walton from the Jags.
That makes it worse. And you want to know why that makes it worse? Because that means he is used to being mediocre to terrible.
I don't know, man. I'm not going to pretend that I know a whole lot about him. But the one thing that I do know is Jalen Ramsey, who is the best corner we've seen since Revis, said that he's the best coach he's ever had.
Okay. So
that is an endorsement I'll accept. Like,
the only reason why I say that is because I do believe I believe Urban was a big problem in Jacksonville, but I do believe Jacksonville being okay with being terrible was a problem. Was why Urban was a problem in Jacksonville.
That's fair.
Yeah,
because Urban cannot handle losing. That's fair.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people were okay with being terrible, just making their money. Because I even think players were okay with being terrible, making their money, and being in the NFL. And then it's like, all right, I want to be a winner. I'll go get a contract somewhere else.
Yeah, that's fair. And we'll see. We'll see how it works out. But Tim Walton, one thing about Tim Walton, though, is he is a Buckeye. He played at Ohio State in the 90s. Okay. And then he has a 17-year coaching career with DBs. And, again, regardless, Jalen Ramsey said that he's the best DBs coach he's ever had. So I'm excited about that. And you can't accept losing and want to be at Ohio State. That gets you fired. So we are – yeah, whatever. So – but continuing, because this is not an Ohio State podcast, Ohio State fires Al Washington. Michigan hires Mike Elston, who's a D-line coach from Notre Dame, because their D-line coach went to USC. Mm-hmm. I don't know how I feel about this, because I've never once watched Notre Dame and be like, ooh, their D-line is killing them.
Nah.
So it's like, I'm not saying he's a bad coach, but Notre Dame does get good players, and I've never watched a Notre Dame game like, oh, that D-line's crazy. Like they've had great linebackers, and there's a lot of like, oh, that linebacker's a great blitzer. Yeah. They have great tight ends. They have a
four, because we're in the front four or three. It doesn't matter. I don't think they've really had a great front four or three.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. You don't know, and I don't know, because it's not memorable.
Yep.
I don't know what they run. I can tell you what Bama runs. I can tell you what a lot of people run because I watch football, but I don't know what they run because.
And I don't like watching Notre Dame anyway. I don't know if for some reason this school just feels racist, so I'm only watching them.
So, but that continues the domino. So he goes to Michigan. A lot of people are happy about it. Again, I don't know why because I haven't seen anything that. I don't follow coaching like that. You can't follow everything, especially when you're doing it for free. So he could be a really good coach. I'm not saying he's not. I'm just saying I have not been impressed by any of his defensive lines. So I don't know how excited Michigan should be, especially when they're going to have to develop a lot of young guys because their two best players are going to the NFL. But because of that, Notre Dame hires Al Washington to coach their D-line. So,
he's coaching what he knows.
Right. But that brings up an interesting conversation that we're going to probably have a couple of times in the offseason. But I just want to broach it really quickly. And if you haven't thought about it, I want you to look into it, and then we can maybe talk about it another time.
Okay.
Have you paid attention to how Marcus Freeman is filling out his staff?
No, I have not.
So basically, everyone on the staff is like 30, and most of them are like former Buckeyes. Like it's like so he's young.
That's kind of smart.
No, it's not, because they're not the good former Buckeyes.
Okay, but no, that's not the part I'm talking about. Them being young, they're more relatable. You can relate to your players because you're not 50, 60, 70.
So. That's a good point, and I want to ask you about it because I'm torn on if this is like an old school mentality in me or if he's actually doing something really smart. And I think there's no in between. It's either going to work or it's going to crash and burn. I like that his coaching staff is young. I don't like that it's all young because it has almost been proven that young coaches sometimes struggle, and it's important to have an older figure to help you guide through it.
Okay,
there's no one old on the staff.
They might not be old, but how much experience? Like how many years coaching?
It depends on who you're talking about, and that's right. So I know for a fact that their offensive coordinator is in his second year as an offensive coordinator, and he's 29. He's a former Notre Dame. Yeah, he's a former Notre Dame quarterback. Al Washington's like 30.
I did see that. That I did see.
Yeah. Al Washington's 30 something, but he hasn't done anything impressive anywhere. He's a solid recruiter, and I really think that's how they built the staff. But I don't think they thought about the football side of it. Because, for recruiting, your first reaction is right. You're going to take a 30-year-old to the house, and they're going to relate to the players and make Notre Dame seem cool, which is really hard. But are they good coaches, though? Al Washington, in my opinion, is not a good coach. Now, maybe he's better once he gets back to D-line because he wasn't a good linebackers coach. But I'm just not – like, it's just like there's – very heavy potential that this fails because everyone on the staff is like 32 years old.
Yeah, and it's going to suck because this is Notre Dame's first black coach, right? Head coach.
It's their second.
So like yep. it, it's Yeah, it's almost like he's setting himself up for failure, which kind of sucks because I want him to be successful, even though it's still Notre Dame. I do want them to be successful because it's just for him.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, I don't know. It's like I feel the same way. Mm-hmm. I want him to be successful because I mean he's a black head coach at Notre Dame. That doesn't happen often.
Yeah.
And as we've seen in the NFL, there's only one black head coach in the NFL.
Yep. It might get back up to two because it looks like the Texans are about to try to hire Flores. So
okay.
Yeah, I've seen that rumor going around that they're thinking about hiring him, which would be a very good hire for them. I just don't understand why Miami did that. But remember what I said about the Jags? I think Miami is also that same. Like, we live in Miami, so we it's still fine. We got the sun, we got the water. So, like, I'm okay being terrible because I'm in Miami.
Yeah, wow. I mean, you're not wrong. So mm-hmm. Let's go down the staff really quickly, right? We talked about their offensive coordinator. Their wide receivers coach, I don't know his name. His name is Chasney Stuckey. I don't know anything about him. Here's the thing. He's a five-year NFL vet. That's cool, right?
Okay.
Here's the thing that concerns me. Stuckey has only been coaching for 3 years. That concerns me. I'm not saying it's not going to work, but it concerns me.
I mean, I give you that, but it's like at some point, you know, there's got to be new coaches.
Yeah, but like he could coach at Kent State, coach for 5 years, and then go to – like, and that's the thing. Maybe it's just the old way of the NFL, the old way of coaching that I haven't got out of me, which is why I think it's important. And I'm not saying it's not going to work. It's going to mm-hmm. be interesting to follow because no one builds their staff this way.
Yeah.
And it's really just all of his friends. Like, he got on, he hired all of his friends, and they hope.
Isn't that what Jerry did with what's his name?
Isn't that who did?
I can't think of his name, bro. He coached the Cowboys to 500 every year while he was there for 10 years. Gary, didn't he hire him to the best friends?
But Urban did that after he won national championships. So it's like you're doing this in your first job. So the old head on the staff is Harry Heidstead, who he's an older guy. He just came from the Bears, but he was there before.
Yeah.
And then the tight ends coach has 30 years of coaching experience, so that's cool. The defensive line coach is Al Washington. We already talked about that. The linebackers coach is James Laurinaitis, former Buckeye, who has never been a college coach before.
Has he coached before?
No. He was doing media. And here's the thing. It's not guaranteed that he's the linebackers coach. He could be an analyst, and so maybe they haven't announced a coach. But either way, it's looking like it's James Laurinaitis. Either way, James Laurinaitis is on the staff. He's mm-hmm. never coached before. That's his best friend. He's hiring his friends.
Yeah.
And then the quarterback's coach was one of the defensive backs coaches at Cincinnati. Another friend, a young guy who he coached with when he was at Cincinnati. And then the safeties coach, I don't know how old this guy is. He's young because he was a defensive analyst and a graduate assistant. Mm-hmm. And now he's the safeties coach. So this is probably his first full-time coaching job.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not saying it's not going to work.
But it's not looking good.
It's just not conventionally smart. Yeah. And not everything that's conventional is good. But I don't know that I'm building my first staff like that. That's all I'm saying. So that's going to be fun. That's going to be interesting to watch. So we'll see. We'll see how it works. I don't know. I'm concerned. And I'm not a Notre Dame fan. And if I was a Notre Dame fan, I would be concerned. I'll say that.
It is a little unconventional, but you never know.
Yeah,
it might work the first 2 years, and then.
Well, that's what happened with the first black coach at Notre Dame. He was really good his first year. He was decent his second. He was trash his third year, and then he got fired.
Oh man, they only gave him 3 years. That's crazy. Jason Gill got 10. I'm
man. So then the last piece of Big Ten news, which is just, you know, Mel Tucker fired the defensive line coach from Michigan State, and he was the last. He was the last guy from the old staff. Mm-hmm. So this is going to be Mel Tucker's full staff. And Mel Tucker needs to see – Mel Tucker needs to – he already got the money, but at least for, like, fans like us, we need to see why he got the money. Yeah. So it's going to be important that he gets this hire right.
Yeah.
You know. But, hey, I will say this. I'm not going to lie. You just brought up Jason Garrett. There are a lot of white coaches who are not good and make a lot of money. So if Mel Tucker's a bad coach, hey.
I don't care.
White people get to be bad coaches sometimes. I'm just being
sometimes.
Honest.
Sometimes. Black guys,
black coaches never get to be bad, i.e. look at what happened.
I mean, Brian Flores wasn't even bad, and he got fired.
Exactly. David Culley, I think his name, the guy for the Texans, he had one season, didn't even get a chance.
He was put into a losing situation regardless.
And then they fired him. And maybe they hired Brian Flores, so they hired black coach, so it's like a wash or whatever, but still.
No, because in a way, it still doesn't make any sense because you didn't give him a real chance. You just
No, like, what are you going to do with one season a year when your best quarterback, one of the best quarterbacks in the league, and your quarterback is on the sideline because he can't keep his hands off of women?
Yeah, and this is after what's the name got rid of your defensive player. Your best receiver,
in that
franchise history, like
traded a bunch of first round picks for an offensive lineman.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
And speaking of white men being allowed to be bad coaches, he's gonna get a head coaching job. He spent 1 year. You haven't seen the rumors. There's a lot of people interviewing him for head coaching jobs. He spent 1 year in the Nick Saban coaching rehabilitation program. Yeah. Why am I losing his name right now? Yeah, he got fired. He spent 1 year in the Nick Saban rehabilitation program. He's their offensive coordinator right now.
And well, he was an offensive coordinator before.
Yeah, Bill O'Brien, that's his name. I've seen at least three, but it may have been four of the jobs interviewing him. And a lot of people and here's what they're saying. Well, he was a good coach before he became a GM. So as long as you don't let him be a GM, he can be a good coach.
Because he's making stupid decisions on the field.
Hey, he's
there's proof. Okay, man. All right. Whatever school he goes to, they deserve it. They deserve it. What comes there?
He's not going to a school. He's getting an NFL coaching job. Yeah, what are you talking about? He's gonna get an NFL job. That's what I'm talking about.
I'm all right, bro.
All right, so now
just keep dropping stops, bro, because that's ridiculous. Wow.
So now that I've effectively made
that'd be like Jimmy Jackson's nerd as a head coaching job, but Jeff
Yeah.
And every year for some reason Mike Tomlin's on the hot seat. I'm so sick of this shit, bro. I can't believe it.
Yeah, sorry. Wow. I didn't mean to ruin your day, but at least you won't be surprised when it happens because he's interviewed for at least three or four jobs. Yeah.
Oh my god, I wouldn't even bring that man in for an interview.
Yeah. They're saying there's a decent chance he either gets the Jacksonville job or the Miami job from what I've heard so far. So, I mean, I don't have sources.
And if either one of those teams does hire him, my point was proven. Those teams just like being trash to mediocre.
Yep. Basically.
They just enjoy being that bad. They just enjoy it.
Yeah.
So that's mind blowing to me.
Yeah. I can't believe it either, honestly. So that's wild. One year out of the league. And David Culley, I think his name, gets 1 year with the worst roster in the NFL and gets fired. So, and while this game's on TV, Eric Bieniemy cannot get a job. But McDonald, is that his name? The Patriots OC.
Mm-hmm.
They try to give him the job and he won't take it. Every year the Colts did it. Every year teams try to give him a job, and he says no because he's waiting for Bill Belichick to retire. But Eric Bieniemy can't get a job to save his life.
Brian Leftwich can't get an interview.
Well, but Brian Leftwich is younger, at least. Eric Bieniemy has been the Kansas City's offensive coordinator for like 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Brian Leftwich needs to get a job. I'm not saying he doesn't. I'm just saying he's young. And speaking of that, shout out to Andy Reid, because Andy Reid gave up play calling duties because he said Brian Leftwich needs to get a head coaching job. So I'm going to let him be the play caller so teams recognize that it's him and not me. Mm-hmm. And nobody else is doing that. Especially, no one else is doing that. It's too much pride in the league, and so I support.
It's not Andy, because Andy Reid's the Chiefs. You mean
Yeah, I'm sorry, not Andy Reid. The Buccaneers had Bruce Arians.
Bruce Arians, yeah, BA.
The Buccaneers head coach, yes. But Andy Reid did something similar for Eric Bieniemy, so it still fits.
Yeah.
And Andy Reid has basically begged people to give Eric Bieniemy a job
because he thinks he's so good. Every time they ask him about a coaching job, they go, he's right here.
He never gets it. But Bill O'Brien is going to get another job. So
I'm cool. That's what I'm saying. Let's just get this over with.
So as always, our pit stops are a break from Big Ten content, just like when you're traveling I-70 and you need a break from driving. Although this entire episode has been a break from Big Ten, so maybe this is a fever dream and this is just a whole episode of pit stops. But my pit stop is moving is the absolute worst. Like, I hate moving with a passion, and I understand why people just buy a house at like 23, which I think is stupid, by the way. And just stay there forever. I hate moving. It absolutely sucks. But we needed an extra room. We wanted to be closer to downtown. So we moved from an apartment to a duplex. That's great, whatever. But the process is miserable. The packing sucks. The actual moving sucks. I played high school football in Ohio, so I have a bad back and a bunch of other issues for no reason. It's just not fun. The place that we're moving to has two sets of stairs. It's not full flights, but it's like two, however you want. There's a little platform in the middle, so it's pretty high up that we had to carry stuff up. I had to carry a sectional.
Hold on.
If you wanted to know why we had to restart the episode earlier, it's because Dante has a dog for a week or a weekend. But we're almost done. So
yeah, we're almost there.
So moving is just the worst thing ever, and I literally never want to do it again. Hopefully next time I move, it's into my forever home. So that's my pit stop. Also, we did it for a reason, but don't move in the winter unless you absolutely have to.
It's not fun at all.
Nah, it's miserable. And then, like, it hasn't been cold in Ohio at all for a while.
And then, of course, yesterday.
And then the day that we moved, it was get really, really cold.
Yeah.
It was like 50 degrees the day before, so whatever.
But now it's snowing.
Right, literally. So what's your pit stop?
I just wonder. My pit stop is real simple. Russell Westbrook and his brother Ray are just completely delusional, bro. I don't know if anybody's been paying attention, but like after every Laker game, Laker fans has these spaces on Twitter to talk about the games. And apparently now he's been jumping in these spaces. And in one a few days ago, he said, one of the things he said is like, Russell Westbrook doesn't lead the league in turnovers, but you always keep talking about turnovers. Overall turnovers, he does. And then he's second in turnovers per game. So he might not lead the league, but he's second. So it's still bad. Like, it's not like he's like 104th. You're second. And you're not that far under second. Like, you're like 1A. Or 1B, where James Harden's 1A. And I think that's what it's on Russell Westbrook, because James Harden has played every game. Russ has been there every game, and he's four and a half turnovers per game. And then, I think it was last night, that man, Russ's brother said that Steven Adams was a dominant big man, and he wasn't a role player for the Thunder when Russ was there.
Okay.
Yeah, like, so it's just delusional. Just delusional. And I don't know how we've gotten to such a point in life where I don't know when it began, and I don't know what started it, but like criticism, like people can't take it, people don't want to take it, they call you a hater. and it's so weird.
Yeah, it's really trash. And the thing that blows my mind about it is criticism, not with everyone, right? But like amongst like friends, brothers, families, that like et cetera. Criticism is a form of love. Like if you don't care about someone or a fan of a team or whatever, you don't bother to criticize. I actually tweeted this because I think it was Tyvis Powell. He tweeted something about this, about real fans or something like that. And I'm like, no, real fans are critical because they care. Yeah. We understand that players and coaches are people, but that doesn't mean we're gonna accept bullshit, because at the end of the day, right? The we're fans of the brand. Like, I'm a fan of the Colts. I'm a fan of Ohio State. I may be a fan of a player, but in college, the player's only there for 3 to 5 years. And the NFL, you can leave whenever. You can retire. Andrew Luck up and retired. Anthony Costanzo up and retired. So you're not always a fan of the person. You're a fan of the Lakers. Yeah, you're a fan of the Lakers, not Russ. So it's like, for this thing where, like, you can't criticize people, you can't want better for your team, you just have to accept because they're human. They are human. And sometimes, maybe a lot of times, people go too far. I mean, people make death threats and stuff like that over sports. That's stupid. But just saying Russ needs to stop turning over the ball, or he should stop shooting that stupid bank shot, or like he needs to be
to play better. Like when you say, like in one of the interviews, he's like, I think fans just expect me to go out there and get 25, 30, 15, and 15. And it's like, no one wants that from you. Not a single person wants that from you. We just want you to get a layup. You're missing layups, bro. And it's not like you're contested. You're missing wide open layup stage you made 5 years ago.
Yeah. Like, it's like you're not even trying. And then to make it worse, he's not even pretending to care, because he goes to the media and is like, turnovers don't matter. I just have to play my game. I'm not like what?
Weird.
What?
Weird.
You're getting paid millions of dollars and you don't care. It's a thing, like, this is, you know, it's a thing with, like, NBA players who can't make free throws. Like, LeBron being one of them. Like I understand you can't be great at everything, but, like, you get paid millions of dollars and you can't consistently make free throws. I'm not saying everyone has to be at 90%, but you shouldn't be below 80.
You shouldn't be below 70. Like, he's a 60-something percent free throw shooter.
But I have a higher expectation. No one in the league should be under 75, because you get paid millions. Sit your ass on the line and shoot 100 times, 200, 300, 400 times a day.
He's refusing to shoot. That's weird.
You don't have to be great at everything. That's fine. But, like, the integral things to the game, every single player has to shoot three free throws at some point. You should be good at that. I don't need Joel Embiid to shoot a three. I don't. That's not his game. But I need him to shoot free throws. Like I don't need LeBron to be Steph Curry. I understand that people have roles, but there are things that everyone should be good at because you're getting paid millions of dollars. And so, like, Russ just, like, accepting 8, 9, 10 turnovers a game? Like, nah.
Yeah, that's really weird to me.
Dismiss me with that entirely.
Yeah, and to just act like there's nothing wrong with how you don't think you're playing bad. And then to have people around you reiterate that same delusional statement to you and to other people and to the fans is weird. I think Ray was like, when they get into the playoffs and when the game slows down, ain't nobody gonna be able to stop them. Bro, he is one of the worst half court players in the NBA right now. And you're gonna tell me when the game becomes mostly half court offense, it's supposed to get better?
That's not how sports work. I hate that we're going to be good by the playoffs. No, I want to see it in the regular season. I want to see it in the regular season. I want to see that you're going
to be good. Yeah, because you're not doing it, because how am I supposed to believe you?
Like, if you said last year, like, if you were surprised by the Suns' run last year, you didn't watch the regular season.
Nope.
I wasn't surprised because they did it for 82 games, which is way too many. I've been watching Devin Booker for years. I knew what he could do, but you saw him do it. Mm-hmm. So, like, no, like, I don't want to hear none of that. Oh, we're a veteran team. We're going to be ready by the playoffs. No, you're not, because you can't do it
You're not doing it now.
And I don't care. And then
you're telling me, because in the playoffs, that's where defense ramps up. You're still terrible at defense. So I'm supposed to believe all you old men and players that didn't play defense to begin with are supposed to ramp up their defense when the playoffs start? First of all, are you making the playoffs?
No, maybe. I mean, they really might not.
They're 21-22 right now.
It's not a guarantee at all.
So I don't know. And I knew this was going to happen. And I said, I told you this. I don't know. I told this to my cousin, but I'll tell you now. LeBron James coming to the Lakers was bad for the Lakers because of what he has done before. At least what he just did with the Cavs before he got there. He made them old, made them overpriced, and then bounced. What are the Lakers now? Old and overpriced.
And see, and here's the thing. I'm not going to defend that because you really can't. It's proven. That's what happened. But you have to take the – and we have talked about this before. You have to take – you have to look at what is a priority for you. And this happens in every sport. If you really, really want to win that ring, you do what you have to do to win the ring. Mm-hmm. But there's a reason most people don't repeat. There's a reason most people win a ring and then fall off. Yeah. Because they got old, they got whatever, they did what they did, they won the ring. So for some Lakers fans, maybe it's not for you, but for some Lakers fans, it was worth it because they got a ring for the first time in however many years. But you struggle after that. Like, there's not many dynasties every dynasty falls. And it's just unfortunate for the Lakers that they only got one and they couldn't get multiple, which maybe you could have predicted that because of how old LeBron was. But he's not. They didn't even give themselves a chance with this roster this season. And that just blows my mind.
It could have been a dynasty if they didn't get rid of all the people that were playing defense or just let them walk. All the players that played defense and why we were the number one defense in the league before LeBron got hurt and stuff are gone. They're all gone.
And then they replaced the old people who don't play defense.
Old people who don't play defense.
Like, and I understand that Anthony Caruso was not the best player in the league, but he was a very good player for them. And he literally said he would have taken less to stay, and they let him go to the Bulls.
He would have taken less than what the Bulls offered him, but he wanted close to what the Bulls offered him, and they said no.
Yeah, but that's what I meant, less than what. Either way, he was worth it. It wasn't a life-changing contract. He wasn't getting $100 million, and they gave out $100 million to everybody. It was like 80 a year or something. Like, and it wasn't.
But you were willing, for some odd reason, to take on Russ's contract
when they could have had Caruso and Buddy Hield, or Caruso and they literally could have had the Bulls. Caruso wanted to stay. DeMar DeRozan wanted to come, and
Lonzo wanted to go back. Yeah.
Lonzo would have came back, and Lonzo, I will say it forever, Lonzo is the perfect player for them because he does everything that they need. Yep. They wanted someone to take the ball out of LeBron's hand. He's a true point guard and does assists. They needed someone to shoot threes. He's gotten significantly better at shooting threes. And they needed someone to play defense, and he's always played good defense, which is why he stayed in the league, because he wasn't a 3-and-D guy. He was an assistant D guy, and mm-hmm. that kept him
in. Now he's a 3-assistant D guy.
And that kept him to the league until his game rounded out, which happens with young players. The only problem with Lonzo is he was taking number two. If he was taking 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, everyone would love him. He was a little too overhyped. He is going to play for forever because he has the perfect game to slot with a lot of teams, and the Lakers let him go to the freaking Bulls.
Yep. But that's my pit stop. Everybody's going to be talking about Westbrook.
I'm mad with you, and I'm not even a Lakers fan. I'm just mad because it's sound business. Like, it just made too much sense for it not to happen. So, of course, it didn't happen.
Yep.
So, that's it. We appreciate, if you're still here, we appreciate y'all listening to a largely non-Big Ten episode. We will get back to the Big Ten, but I think that was all fun conversations. And if you listen to a Big Ten podcast, I'm assuming you like all sports, so it shouldn't have been that bad. But if it was that bad, I apologize. We will get back on topic. But as always, thank you for listening. Thank you for traveling to I-70 with us. You can find me on Twitter at JordanW330. Dante, where can they find you?
Dante M 10216.
All right, and we will catch you.